Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's about everybody else being asleep, everyone but me, and me feeling like I have to do it all by myself. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. That's our new theme song from Clap Clap Riot. It's called Everyone's Asleep. Go watch that on YouTube if you want to do the full song. That's what I did. Bloody good song, mate. Which reminds me, last night I was out at, what's it called? Aotearoa is not for sale. And what we did was just had a meeting, I think. Well, how many people were there? Maybe about 50? 60 or so? Never underestimate the power of a small, determined minority to change history, because history proves they're the only group that ever has. And that's what I see ultimately with the protests and activist movements and the truthers and all of this stuff. Severe minority. However, they have a majority viewpoint, okay? And don't confuse what I'm saying that the majority knows what truth is. No, it's just not the case. Yeah, they don't know anything. But what I'm trying to say is that truthers have a belief structure based upon extremely simple principles that everybody agrees with. Okay, for example, do you want to be enslaved and exterminated? Why no? No, I'm not rather keen on being enslaved and exterminated. Oh, yeah? Well, isn't that nice? You know, that's basically it. If you don't want to be enslaved and exterminated, it does not matter your wing, okay? Left wing, right wing are the same vulture that is literally eating your babies after the politicians give them a kiss on the forehead so they can get more votes, after they come off of a giant public education assembly line and then thrown into a pit with the rest of the manufactured products to be eaten, gorged on by winged rats and other assorted scum, I feel that humanity has not taken its responsibilities to protect itself seriously. Okay, that's why people are giving up all their power, left, right, and center. Give it to government. You know, give somebody else the power. Let them handle the responsibility. Okay, people think that when you give somebody power, that person instantly basically will either become corrupt or whatever. Okay, the relationship between responsibility and power is not great power comes with great responsibility. Great responsibility earns you great power. If you earn your power, you then have an appreciation for it. For instance, being able to bring activism and what have you on the airwaves at pretty much any point and give them some coverage and everything like that. That's real power. It gives those people something that they ordinarily wouldn't have the power to do on their own, because running a radio show is a full-time job, running a website and all of that kind of stuff. The truthers can't do it a lot of the cases, you know. It's a hell of a lot of work. But I'm acting under the assumption that if we all work in concert, work together, stop bickering about these little minor details that we disagree upon, okay? One will say that the New World Order agenda is this great big spider web, okay? And we are all caught in this great spider web. What is your perception of the threats within the spider web? Okay. Firstly, are there real threats? Yes, there are. There definitely are. New World Order is threatening you all day, every day, in every single way. And I'm being very literal here. Okay. If you're sitting next to an electronic device right now, as we all are, you're being irradiated by it to a degree. If you drank tap water that wasn't fluoride filter, and you needed like a half micron or 2 micron thick filters or something ridiculous. Same amount of filterage that it takes to get uranium out of the water is the same that's used to get fluoride out of the water. Incidentally, our water here in New Zealand and in the United States and many other places has radiation detected in it. That's bloody scary. Bathing in it, drinking it. And people wonder why New Zealanders have a 1 in 2 chance of cancer, okay, as opposed to 1 in 805 50 years ago. Chernobyl, McDonald's, both have contributed massively to the huge growth of cancer. Why? Comes back to what I said. Responsibility and power. People think that having that power is a burden and that to take responsibility for it is to waste their life. The news was running around yesterday and asking people, do you know who the leader of the opposition is? And most of them had no idea. Okay, there's an old saying, the best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter. And believe me, that is the case. Last night outside the Aotearoa's Not For Sale meeting, these two guys were like talking about, oh, well, national versus right wing, that blah, 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 blah. You know, they're trying to actually have like an intellectual conversation. It sounded really dumb from where I was standing because they thought that national was right wing and that Labour was left wing. And so I walked up to them. I said, hey, guys, hey, do you think National's actually really right-wing? And one of them goes, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom now. Just instantly walks away. You know, as soon as somebody comes up with a real question, real debate, or anything like that, walks the frack away. Cowardly. And his mate, I asked him to explain to me the fundamental difference between Labour and National, the left and the right-wing. And he comes up with all the recent policies only, that have small points of difference, okay? And I said to him, what is the spectrum, okay? What's the far right and what's the far left? Far right is uber voluntaristic libertarianism, okay? Nobody has a ruler. You are a law unto yourself, and if you hurt anybody else or damage anybody's property, then you're going to experience some real recompense. Beyond that, bugger all taxation, and everybody lives free. Hardcore left wing. But of course, with libertarians, you get private property. Hardcore left wing. Basically the same thing, except no private property, no personal freedoms, and you have to sacrifice everything if the collective wills you to. And of course, who has control of the collective? That's the ultra left wing and the ultra right wing. These are the two differences in the real political sphere. You have a look at Labour, you have a look at National, and you have a look at the spectrum. These people are not anywhere near either end of the spectrum. They are right in the middle. And I said to this guy, do you think that these people operate under the principle of taxation without representation? And he's like, I said, did they ask you to pay your taxes, or did they never ask you and simply force you to do it? Well, they force me. Okay, what kind of a political system forces people to pay taxation without representation? And he's like, and I said, it's tyranny. And he says, no, our government, not tyranny. And I said, that's why the Americans rebelled against King George, because of taxation without representation. And of course, knowing that he was defeated, probably, cowardly little scum, walks back into the lecture theatre and doesn't say another word to me. Okay? This is the thing. You do get angry with stupid people. And it's a bad idea, basically, because, you'll never run out of things to be angry about if you're angry at stupid people. but it is fun. What was the point I was trying to make? back here. Oh, yes. Okay. There is no real left wing in your country. There is no real right wing. Okay? There is only tyranny. This is the reality that we now live in. Why? Because our country's policy is not determined by our representatives in any way, shape, or form. Okay? They may vote on it and what have you, but they don't read the bills. They have no idea what the hell's going on whatsoever. I told this group of people at the meeting, not the douchebags that I was talking about earlier, but the meeting, people who are kind of semi-political aware. Okay, and I asked them, anybody heard of Agenda 21? A couple of my mates in the audience, you know, raised their hands. I mean, like two people. One person who I didn't know knew what Agenda 21 is. And I think the people that do know what Agenda 21 is have probably learned about it from me. And then I said, okay, now raise your hands if you've heard of the Rio Earth Summit. About half of the lecture theatre had heard about the Rio Earth Summit in 1992. But only one of them had heard about Agenda 21, which was the very document to come out of that Earth Summit that was signed by our leaders. The Prime Minister at the time for National, I think, was Jim Bolger. And him and, what was his name, George H.W. Bush, Herbert Walker, Bush Sr., Daddy Bush, Poppy Bush, that kind of drug-running criminal gangster type filth, you know, him and our Prime Minister and apparently everybody else's signed that document. It's a fracking huge document too. On a private yacht off the coast, guess who owned that private yacht? Prince Charles. So you have the royalty and the leaders of the world signing documents in secret that even 20 years later, barely a fracking person has heard of. Think about that. They have managed to keep this secret for 20 years. And 99%, maybe even more, of the population completely unaware that every single bit of legislation that has been passed in their country for the last 20 years is lifted out of those documents. Everything. All of our search and surveillance bills, all of our increases in taxes, all of our roading plans, all of our forced amalgamations of state services, all of the sell-off of state assets, all of the taking out, you know, every single thing. Why? Because Agenda 21 is the comprehensive plan for the 21st century tyranny. A technocracy, ladies and gentlemen, where those who have the technology will rule over those who do not. Medicines, paved roads, education, many other amenities that we currently enjoy will no longer exist in any way, shape, or form. Every freedom that you currently possess will no longer exist. Your ability to have as many children as you really feel, or as you feel what? No, not anymore. You have to get a license. If you like having private property, like a house of your own to live in, for instance, no. Sorry, no private property anymore. If you like being able to jump in your car and perhaps go and see your mates across town or something like that, no. No private vehicles anymore. You will have public transport only, or bicycle or walk. Okay, that's your mode of transportation. You want to perhaps go into a rural area, maybe go hunting for a pig or something of that nature? Not anymore. The highways, they will have massive. In fact, they already do. In just north of Auckland, the new highway they're building, there's like what 10-foot walls, 10-foot concrete walls, lining the bloody highway for miles. Miles and miles and miles. If you break down, there is nothing you can do. You have to just sit in your car and wait because there's no possibility you could ever get off this bloody highway. They're closing off off-ramps and on-ramps in the United States under Agenda 21 protocol, and you're turning entire communities into quote-unquote ghost towns. There are literally whole towns that have been abandoned just because they cut them off from the main highway by closing the off-ramp. Because Agenda 21 is about keeping everybody compact, everybody controlled, super cities, okay, with everybody living in them, and all the rural areas are off limits to humankind. This is the dark future, and we'd all best get real wise about this very quick if we want to do something before it's too late. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. If you support the show and everything like that, please subscribe for $5 a month at the website. We desperately need your support at this particular time to get the truth out. Getting it out is a full-time job, and I will not work for the man. We'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah,
but I'm here now. So what you want to do? How many dudes you really know? Like this, let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check to the mic, check a 1-2 from a crew coming through. Are you hype yet? Nowadays everybody wanna talk, but we got some no scribe. Ain't got nothing when I'm up in the live. It came from when you feeling the vibe. You know scribe is taking me high. Level with the double bass, vibrate, hit the place in your vertebrae. Y'all hear the man move like a RS. Subaru with a crew, I'm equipped like a body kit. Lyrically vibe burn quick, so one foot is missed out to his tongue like a stale fish. This kid ain't eggs from the vent when they get described. I'm alive like a 05. I got vibe like a beehive, but when the mother from the square to the pier by the seaside. Yeah, y'all know the way that we ride around town on the down low. Never know what the flow pro drop. Can't stop hip hop cause it don't stop. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. How many dudes you know roll like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any. Not many, if any. How many dudes you know got
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen,
like
to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. On AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live across America and across the world. And I tried to have a panel discussion with three free men on the land or whatever. I was going to get them from three different countries. I was going to get commonly known as Dom from the UK, Dean Clifford from Canada, and Simon Kaiwai from New Zealand, who's currently not living in New Zealand as far as I know. But of course, Dom and Dean, even though I told them about it a week earlier and reminded them 22 hours ago and sent them on Facebook and Skype and all of that, they're just not here. Okay, they're just not here. So we'll have three people from New Zealand instead. We have Simon Kaiwai. He did turn up. Thank you very much. He got an overdriven mic, unfortunately. And we have the indomitable, the fabulous, and the downright fantastic Billy T. And also Dario Ignacio. Now, of course, many people would not have heard of any of these three gentlemen. Okay, but they are legends in their own right. Simon kind of has been talking about sovereignty and getting basically the job of trying to free yourself from commercial slavery for quite some time. Billy T is a expert in trust, your birth certificate, how to rescind it, and how to literally be the crown and the beneficiary of this system. And Dario is one of the only people, if you go to a family court, who can get your bloody kids back. All right. So, yeah, we've got quite an interesting panel here. But Simon's connection is it's waning somewhat. He's dropped off. So it's just Billy and Dario. So, Billy, introduce yourself.
Hi there, Vinny. Good to talk with you again. Oh, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're still
and
online.
And Dario?
Yeah, hey, good morning. How are you doing,
everybody? You're online. Very good, very good. Thanks, guys, for dropping in at the last minute.
No problem.
Yeah, no problem, Vinny.
Okay, so let's talk about the law, right? And as far as I know, the law is not entirely dissimilar from the film Judge Dredd, where you have, you know, judges, juries, and executioners all in one. And you don't really have much of a choice. We're born into the system, and there is no choice that's given to us from birth. I mean, it's like, anybody remember when they were born? No? Oh, yeah, that's right. You're too young. Do you remember signing that birth certificate which guarantees that you will pay your taxes for the rest of your life? No, because you were too young. So did somebody else do that for you? Oh, yeah. It was your parents. So you didn't sign up for this, okay? You know how military men act when they say, I didn't sign up for this? They quit. And that's precisely what I think we should start doing. Quit paying all that money to foreign bankers who are taking over the country. It's pretty straightforward, I would have thought. I'm sorry. Billy, what was your perspective on all this?
Well, actually, you do have a choice, Vinny, and it's become more and more clear as it comes along. You can either be in the private side or in the public side. Now, for most people, they prefer to be on the public side because on the public side, you get all the benefits. You get to sign up for a driver's license in the public, and then you can drive around in the public. But if you do anything wrong, then you get a smack over the hand. Now, should you operate in the private? Now, I'll just explain about the public side. On the public side, only corporations can sue and be sued. So if you go to name in the in Bouvier's Law Dictionary, you'll see that corporations can only sue and be sued in the corporation name. So if Mr. Commissioner of Police as a corporation comes to Mr. Vinny All Capitals Corporation, then they can do business, but they can only do business in the courts. Now, if you enter the private world, then you do not have a name. So the private person can rebut everything in the commercial world if he sticks to private, and that means everything addressed to them is in private, and every offer to them is to settle in private. There is nothing they can do.
So let's think about this. You say that there's nothing they can do, but as far as I've seen, what happens is that these people, they've created this law to create an ordered society. And naturally, people have thought that that ordered society will obey its own rules, but it does not. If you stand up and fight for your rights and all of that kind of stuff, in some cases, they just act very violently, and they essentially take away that glossy veneer that you think that you live in a free society when the very people who are supposed to enforce the law no longer obey it.
Well, the problem is, Vinny, that all their processes, and that's all they are, it's a process or a procedure. The process is complete before you go to court. You see, the moment that you accept any of the documents that they give to your corporation, if you accept them, then you are admitting that you are the corporation. So what you can do is say, as the person's personal representative, I will accept those papers on his behalf, okay? Because you don't have a name. You can't have a name if you want to remain. The old rule, name, rank, and serial number, the first thing they come to you, what's your name, where do you live, and how old are you, or what's your date of birth? So those are the three things that put you into the public side. So to stay out of the public side and into the private side, you have to rebut those right from the start. Otherwise, their process is complete before you even go to the court, and then they can do what they like with you. It's a lot harder to break those presumptions in the court.
Now, this is an interesting thing, because whenever you're unlawfully arrested or have your rights violated by police, for instance, there's a bit of feedback there. Yeah, who have you got your things on speakerphones, Dario, or Billy there?
No,
it's probably Simon who's just come online.
Oh, Simon's just come on. Simon, you need to turn your speakers down right down to the bottom, because what happens is you get a feedback loop. So when I speak, it comes through your microphone and comes straight back out at us. Either that or there we go. Problem solved. Simon, welcome back. Oh, wait, hold on a second. He's not there at all, is he? All right, I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
about the name going to court.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that was what I was talking about. When you get arrested, okay, and you say, I want my lawyer, or I want you to respect my life, particularly when you're unlawfully arrested, what they tell you is, oh, well, you can't challenge us now while you're sitting in your cells for a couple of hours and getting bored out of your mind and what have you, and just waiting for your head to be cut off. Okay, you can't do anything now, but what we'll do is we'll wait for, like, I don't know, 2 years or something, and cause you that kind of stress for that, so that you can then go into court, which is one of the most... If there is a hell, it would resemble a courtroom, because it would be boring, the temperature wouldn't be very comfortable, and also the audio equipment would be very, very lackluster, okay? And not to mention there would be no recordings of the conversations whatsoever, as happens in New Zealand courts. It's a court record without a record! You gotta be kidding me! So what happens is, they tell you, don't worry, you'll sort it out in court, and then they go to court, and you... You know, unsurprisingly, you can't sort anything out because they're corrupt.
Oh, no, they're not corrupt. What they're doing is they're just following their processes. And unless you've rebutted them right at the beginning, then they must follow their process. They're just arresting their property.
We are property then, aren't we? And Dario, what's your perspective on this? I mean, do you believe that human beings, children, maybe in your expertise, are treated much like property?
Well, one thing that I can say, Vinny, is that what Bill is describing is exactly the state of affairs, the way that usually is handled. However, I have to stress that I have done it myself. I actually did it last Friday. Right at the end of the story, I put a stop to the nonsense just by saying a few little words. So the fact that they have all kinds of presumptions that we are their property, that we are their chattel, all of this nonsense is a claim. And the moment that we understand that the whole thing spins around a very basic concept that most people need to get into their heads, the name of the game is prove it. He who makes the claim bears the burden of the proof. Unfortunately, when they come and say, hey, you've been going at 120 kilometers an hour when you were obviously on the side of a road sleeping or having a drink or whatever. Now, they come with all kinds of fabrications. The reason that they do that is because we start arguing. We start, no, but I didn't know, but my mustache was whatever. You know, nonsense. We just have to say to them, prove it, mate. Prove that you have authority to even talk to me. Prove that there was an incident in which there was an injured party. Prove that you have any leg on which you stand. People are dragged into courts because people do not understand how the courts function. I do not know if Bill would agree with me, but the district court has no inherent jurisdiction. The moment that you raise the point of inherent jurisdiction, everything falls apart. They cannot possibly proceed. It doesn't matter what they say and what kind of show they put in front of the peanut gallery, because the peanut gallery is not there to be awakened. The moment that you say a few things, poof, everything closes down. Last Friday, anyone that was sitting there on the gallery, there was nobody there because my case was the last one, coincidentally. Like you said just now, all records disappear, all recordings miraculously vanish. Whenever you say something that does not conform with their little plot, then it's inaudible because they cannot hear you. And it's true, they cannot hear you. They're playing a game of Monopoly, and the moment that you say, I'm not here to play, I'm here to check the rules of the game, and they cannot hear you anymore. They are subservient to us. This is what people need to understand. Unfortunately, you know, most people go through a lot of hassle before they can realize that these people are public servants. And if they serve the public, I am the public by default. Now, again, I agree with what Bill was describing about the public and the private, but this is within the rules of their game. In reality, we are the public and they are the public servants. And this is where the nonsense finishes and ends. Now, of course, if anyone goes and has an argument with whatever it is, doesn't matter. Actually, we don't have an argument with them. They have an argument with us, seems to be the case. You know, you are stopped by the cops without any reason. You are being threatened by the IRD for all kinds of nonsense. You know, a telecom fabricates an invoice for hundreds of zillions of dollars without you having anything to do with that. You know, everybody comes and chases after the man and the woman on the streets. In fact, it's not the man and the woman in the streets, the one that creates the controversy. And yet they say that they can adjudicate. They don't have any right to adjudicate, because if you do not recognize their authority. I walked into a court and I say, I point fingers at them and I say, excuse me, before I can proceed, and I point my fingers at each one of them. I do not recognize you, I do not recognize you, I do not recognize you, I do not recognize you. Even I point the finger at the judge and I say, I do not recognize you either. Who are you? A simple question. They can try to present, oh no, we're not going to hear it. We're going to enter a plea of not guilty on your behalf. Thank you. I waive all the benefits, privileges, and advantages that this court is offering me. Thank you. You can keep your benefits. Thank you. Last time, on Friday, the judge even said to me, you cannot waive your benefits. A good mate of mine said to me, of course you cannot waive your benefits. You are my slave and you will accept the benefits. If not, then we will put you in a cell. You know, it's like, what, you're going to force me to accept the benefits? Yeah. So everything is in their plot.
It's funny.
In their plot,
I'm sorry, we're coming up to break.
Okay.
Yeah, Dario, we're just coming up to break now. And apparently the government budget is coming out very soon. And within that budget, there is a large contingent to fund prosthetics for serving police officers, because the government is very concerned that many of our police officers don't have a leg to stand on. We'll be right back after the break at the MoneyEastwoodShow.com. Side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you will go friggin' nuts, particularly if you're paying attention. You know, if you're walking around in some kind of mind-warped, aspartame, fluoride, thimerosal, brain fart, fugism-gasm, or whatever the heck you call being a citizen of the United States these days, or any other kind of uber New World Order-controlled country. If you're capable of thought, still, and congratulations. You survived. Public education. You did it. All right? Clap for the handicap. I'm not kidding here. This is the thing. It's not a fair fight, is it, guys? Because there's like, what, three voices here now on the radio that are trying to tell people the truth and whatever. And for each one of us, there is maybe a dozen shills working hard as they can to discredit what we say and what have you. Okay, but however, as Howard Zinn, a great civil rights activist back in the 50s and 60s and what have you, said, one truth can shatter 1,000 lies. And it's very true, because it's easy for us, because we don't have to make anything up. We don't have to remember what we made up. We only know the truth. And anybody else who becomes a lying, thieving, black robe wearing Masonic judicial pond scummery, scumbaggery individual, they don't care in any way, shape, or form about justice. Okay? What they care about is following protocol. The justice system has very little to do with justice. It has a lot to do with settling debts. Namely, getting your ass into debt and then sending you to private jails, which the government's now okaying, and get the state more into debt just in order to house you. Hey, if you're a homeless person, that's actually quite nice, because you at least get fed in jail. Mm. Unfortunately, we live in a society where the most vulnerable are those who get exploited, and the strongest, the ones who are capable, most capable of becoming, shall we say, free of the system and whatever. They don't experience any hardship in their life, so they never question what the system is and why the vast majority of people are always living in abject poverty. Like last night, for instance, a friend of mine with a mobility card on his car was getting given a ticket by a ticket officer for his warrant and rego not being on his car for like a year or something like that, right? And so, you know, we obviously just called the parking guy a fascist and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? These parking wardens now have escorts. Security guard escorts, because of situations like this, where people will come up to you and just go, bro, what the hell are you doing to my car? Parking wardens, understandably, and I think everybody would agree with this because it's self-evident, are the most abused profession on earth, okay? And with good reason. Nobody likes getting parking tickets. And the guy said to me, well, why don't they go and do the rich people or anything like that? I said, because rich people are able to pay for their parking. Because rich people are capable of paying their warrant and rego. That's why virtually only poor people wind up getting parking tickets for little technicalities like that. A rich person who can afford to pay that parking ticket will never get one. And the poor person who cannot afford to pay that parking ticket will always get them. Billy T and Dario Ignacio are my guests today. And we're having a bit of a robust discussion about the law and legal fiction and acting in the private and the public. And all. If you don't know what all of these terms mean, you can go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media, and Guerrilla Media, like a soldier. I had a listener call, send me a Guerrilla Media email the other day, and he was surprised that it bounced back because he spelt gorilla with an O. And you can go to there and you can search I Declare I'm Free by Bill Turner. That's the presentation that Bill did previously. I think it was on Anzac Day a couple of weeks ago. And also he's done The Banking System and You, and The Law and You. Three very interesting presentations, packed full of information that you can use to educate yourself, other people, if you want to download it from the internet or whatever, and burn it onto a DVD, pass them out at public places or anything like that. Just bloody do it, okay? Just bloody do it. Don't ask for permission. Just do it, okay? Why do you think people like us are here in the first place? You think we follow rules? No. We want to be free. And freedom means, in many cases, the absence of a ruler. Because if you have a ruler, you're not free. Are you, boys?
No. Vinny, you probably don't realize you just summed up the whole system about when they send you anything. Everything is on paper, therefore it's dead right from the start. But what the majority of the people don't realize is that everything is just an offer to contract, and every piece of paper that ends up with a signature on it is how they raise money. It's a bill of exchange. So everything they're coming to you with is to get you to dishonor the presentment that they make so that they can make money. They put those out onto the bond markets. Now, if you know how to diffuse these, I'm having all my cases thrown out before they go to court now, Vinny. All I do is have a look at the wording on them, and you know what I'm like on the wording. You can call me the Nazi police if you want to, Vinny. But whenever they come at you, it's always, they say, the plaintiff makes this claim against you. You are the defendant. So I just write back to them in the private and say, this complaint was addressed to you, but it was handed to Bill. And it says that you are the defendant, but you've given the papers to Bill. Please explain. End of case. There's nothing they can do. I've identified the parties.
Because you've refused. It's like pin the tail on the donkey, essentially. And if you're the donkey, just move off the wall so you don't get that pin in your ass.
Well, you're admitting you're you.
Yeah. My bad.
What happened?
See, it's all word games, isn't it? Hold on a second. Is this kind of like a game to these people? Or is it more like a sales job? Because no, I know funny. In a sales job, you're supposed to create either a sense of urgency, fear of loss, stimulate somebody's greed, or basically allow them to express an indifference for the product that you're trying to sell them. So when I talk to police officers, I find that those same sales tactics that taught me long ago when I was the number one salesman at the telco company I was working for, okay, all those tactics that I saw that were being taught to me to sell people stuff, okay, was actually being used by police to sell people their own enslavement.
Yeah, that's correct. But again, I think it is part of it is the training that they receive. On the other hand, you said you asked few good questions, you know, about the law. There is no law. The only law that exists in any kind of court is whatever you bring in. The moment that you say, hey, hold on a second, my understanding is that every man is innocent until proven guilty. Now they cannot start playing around with little nonsense about case dismissed, you know, conviction and convicted and dismissed, you know, and discharged and stuff like that. You either guilty or you're either innocent. The guilty and not guilty plea is just another offer, like Bill just was saying. They are offering you all kinds of things. Now, you said about the language. I just discovered, not long ago, that one of the common words that they use, they give you a summons to appear, for example, right? They tell you, you call the courts, you call the district court, you call the courthouse, whatever they say. Well, you have to appear tomorrow. The meaning of the word appearance in their own story, because it's just a story, it's just a fiction, and they believe in that. I mean, after all, this is what gives them the BMWs and the fantastic houses. Remember that, okay? They are there for the take. They are pirates, and they're not going to get off the ship because they have a big booty, you know, to grab it. But look at this, the word appearance. In one of my documents I wrote that I find necessary to distinguish between an appearance as defined in the Judicature Act 1908, Hyde Court Rules of General Application, which state, appearance, listen to this, appearance means a document that states the person's address for service. So when you go to court and you think that you're appearing... Sorry, can you hear me?
Going to break, so we'll come back to that.
I'll tell you that later.
Sometimes things are exactly as they appear. For example, when you're being summoned to court, isn't it interesting that some of the people who are presiding over you after you've been summoned are wearing robes like a demon worshipper?
I'm summoning you.
Maybe that's just what I see. I could be wrong. Maybe it's just a massive Luciferian Freemasonic temple chamber where summoning you is basically turning you into the nice little demonic vessels that they're going to extract all the nougaty goodness and freedom from. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. The fastest 2 hours in talk radio. The 6'4" New Zealander that is too big to fail needs a bailout, ladies and gentlemen. If you can donate to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, please do. We need equipment. We need funding. And more to the point, regular income. Trust me, doing this is a full time job. Every minute of every day. I was up till 3 a.m. last night, okay, just working on the video for the meeting that I did last night so that it could be uploaded before the end of this show today. So in about an hour's time or so, if you go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, you'll be able to see the Aotearoa is not for sale meeting that we had last night. And I think there was like maybe even 15 to 20 people spoke. Lots of different people. There are lots of different subjects. Very, very interesting. And you know how many other people were there to film or to report it or to upload it or to edit it or to do anything? Not one. Okay? This is what I do all day, every day, making sure that I am there to help our activists, speakers, thinkers, and great people get some bloody coverage that they deserve. Because, hey, if you expose scumbaggery in a forest and nobody's around to see it, did you really expose scumbaggery? Okay, this is the thing. All you got to do is let people do their thing, okay? Billy, Dario, they just do their thing and they kick ass at it. Okay, but you need somebody like me to film them, record them, and get them out so that other people can hear that. More to the point, it helps a lot because it means that they don't have to keep repeating themselves. If somebody asks them a particular question or something like that, and you know for a fact it's going to take you about an hour to write the email to properly explain it, as opposed to, here's a link, boom, problem solved. That
Absolutely.
Is the service that I want to give to my people. And when I say my people, I'm talking about there's only one race, the human race, and we're all members of it. And we had best be treating each other like family, sacrifice everything that is necessary to help each other out all day, every day. That's what family does, okay? Now, when you're being summoned into court, as I mentioned earlier, you're not entirely dissimilar from some kind of a dark entity or demon being summoned into existence by cult leaders wearing black robes. What color are the robes that that judges wear? Oh yeah, that's right, they're black. And I think, you know, we really do need to revamp, and by that I mean repetitive vampire, revamp the judicial garb. And include a black hood to the black robe so that people know that you are going into a Luciferian ritual chamber where you are about to be sacrificed for the dark gods. And perhaps we can have themed courtrooms as well So if you have perhaps your Judge Winkleman in a Darth Vader costume, you know, you say, "I challenge your legal fiction." "I find your lack of faith disturbing." You know, that kind of thing. It'd be great. And it'd actually make the things appear more realistic. But, you know, Star Wars is more realistic than a courtroom these days. I'm not kidding. At the very least, it's more entertaining. All right. Sorry about that rant, guys. I just had to get it out. Kind of like intellectual vomit.
That's cool.
And you were talking about appearances before. Went off to break there, and your definition of it, Dario. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry. What I wanted to say is that that's not my definition. That's not the definition of Black's Law, which is acceptedly the most important way to find legal fictional definitions in United States, Canada, and so on. Here I've been told and I've been informed, and I think that I heard something that Bill was saying, that here it seems to be that the most relevant type of law dictionary is Butterworth's. But if I go back directly to the Judicature Act 1908, which is the foundation of all the judiciary in New Zealand, this is the foundation of everything that they claim to be courts. And I go to their definitions, and I can quote exactly from whatever it is, the High Court rules. I've forgotten exactly where it is that it appears. But regardless of that, if the definition of the word appearance, okay, listen to this. Appearance means a document that states a person's address for service. So basically, an appearance is a document. An appearance is a piece of paper. Like Bill just said before, a document is a dead object. Why would I accept to appear, means to become a piece of paper, in their courtroom? So I can go and I can say, well, I can agree that I will be present, okay, exercising all my, for example, God-given abilities, okay, or God-given unalienable rights. And don't mistake what I'm saying. So, you know, I'm trying to clarify the situation for your benefit, mate, because I'm here as a man. Now, let's see if you can tackle me. Please bring it on. And these, I mean, obviously, if I'm quoting from their own Judicature Act, and I'm saying I'm not appearing under that definition, what happens to the rest of the construct of whatever they consider the judiciary system? It just virtually disintegrates. You're tackling the foundations of it. I'm not suggesting that everybody does it, you know, lightheartedly. I also think that the problem is that the majority of people are confused because, you know, you open the TV and they say, in the name of the law. I mean, which law? Whose law is that? This is a classical question that I ask everybody. Cops, people from Wins, people from the court, from everybody. Whose law is that? That's not my law, that's for sure. I do not grant any benefits to public servants that they overstep their public service function. You are only functioning here as a servant, just in case you've forgotten, mate. And I will take issue with you in a proper court. Because if I present claims against you, it's going to be criminal charges presented from a public man against a public servant. You know, people are trying to convince me, oh, the only way that you can proceed is if you present a private, what is it called, a private prosecution. I'm not a private prosecutor. I am one of the people. I'm one of the members of the public. Therefore, I am the public. Who am I prosecuting? One that is a public servant and has forgotten what is his job? Well, so be it. So again, you know, when we go to talk to them, we need to really go and look into the mirror and say, you know, really, who are we? Who am I? Am I the same as my mate on the streets? Do we have a membership on the streets here? Do I have to be part of a special secret society to live in my community and help each other? No, I don't. So, you know, the moment that we start using their language, I think that we fail. People looking for remedies at law. Well, guess what? I'm looking for solutions in law. Not at law, but in law. Little tiny, you know, distinctions between the way that we use the language here and there. So what I'm thinking is that a majority of people need to understand that all of these rules, they are made by those who make the rules, and they are made for their benefit, not for ours. In fact, they are made against us all the time. One of the things that I've been observing is that whenever they lock me up or Bill or you or anybody that is a little bit more wise in this sort of process, the moment that they lock us up so that they can keep all the other sheeple in line, so that everybody's going to go and say, oh, look what happened to Derek, he got locked away. And then they will continue shutting their mouths and paying their stupid taxes and everything else, like they are commanded to do. But there is no crown, everybody knows it. There is no constitution. I just read, someone brought to my attention a discourse that Sean Elias, Chief Justice, gave, I think it was like 2 years ago in 2009, a public discourse about constitution. There is no constitution here. There is no way to set parameters that they bound, that they establish clearly what are the limitations for government. So if there is no limitation for government, that means that anyone can do whatever they please. In that case, I do not accept to be governed. Simple as that. I do not accept to give carte blanche to a lawyer, giving him an open checkbook, saying you just feel whatever you want. You just write whatever you want in there. That's nonsense. It's the same thing. If they are our representatives, then they can be fired. And I'm more than happy to fire everybody. I'm capable of doing my own stuff. And I think that from what I heard from Bill and from other people, we are in the same boat in that case. We know that we can do things ourselves. We don't need a nanny state to come and tell us how to behave. The reference that you made at the beginning of the program about the family court is correct too. You know, we can do things ourselves. We can walk out of this mess and conduct ourselves in honor, with respect, with love, with compassion towards our fellow men and women. We don't need intervention of people that they are there just for the take as pirates. See? Sorry for the rant.
You know what? We all apologize for our rants, but the reality is, if you had to apologize, somebody would have interrupted you.
Thank you for the vote of confidence.
Well, it just goes to show you, when people are interested, they shush and they listen, don't they? Doesn't matter what you're talking about.
We are being convinced that we have to operate as corporations. And I'm thinking, since when? My grandfather didn't have a registered date of birth. You know, people discuss about all of this nonsense about the birth certificate and stuff. Yes, it's true. In my personal case, and I'm talking just about me, you know, me, this man that is speaking now, I have a certificate of live birth signed by my father, signed by my grandfather, and signed by my great uncle. And then ratified by the registrar of that particular registry. Now, this is a certificate of live birth. It's different to a birth certificate, which is just a piece of document that is being stamped just by some registrar, as if the registrar can make any claim about first-hand knowledge about you or me being born. That's ridiculous. But we all use these kind of documents because we are told by the system. I was showing my daughter, actually, how to fill some documents, and I was showing her. It says there, you have to write in print. You have to write in capitals. Since when? Where does it say in any legislation here in Canada, United States, because I've done a bit of research on that, where does it say that they can change their language, that they can change the standard English language into some other fabrication? Where does it say? They will come and they will say, oh, yeah, because the computer can only work with macros. So what is my response? Your computer is my responsibility. Are you blaming me for your deficiencies? Give me your system and I will modify it so that you can work according to law. I don't care about your legal parameters. I'm only working according to law. Whatever it is not lawful, please do not bring it to my attention. You want to speak about legalese? Go and speak to your mates. Not me. Thank you very much. I am, like I said to many people, I am precluded from engaging in anything that is fraud or where I am going to be committing perjury. Therefore, that's it. Don't ask me to tell you anything that is a lie. Thank you. That's it.
See, that'd be funny. You know, just walk into court and say to the judge, excuse me, Your Honor, I'm not allowed to participate in fraud, so I'm going to go. See ya.
Well, it starts, Vinny, by you calling that man dressed up in a costume. It starts by you going and saying to him, Your Honor. If you're honorable, then you have to show me that you're honorable, and therefore I will respect you as such. In the meantime, I haven't seen any shred of evidence that anyone is honorable in their system. All of these honor and dishonor theories. Yes, I mean, it's a fantastic theory. I don't dispute that. It's just I have never seen it. You have to tell them how to behave in their own within their own rules of their game. I mean, it's ridiculous. We have to tell them how they have to behave according to their own rules. Who are we? We do not create these rules. We claim authority over rules. We say, hey, they don't even obey their own rules. Of course not, mate. Are you a signatory to those rules? Are you a signatory to the Constitution of the United States? Are you a signatory to the Bill of Rights? Are you a signatory to any of that stuff? The Bill of Rights Act 1990, this is an act of a parliament that doesn't have half a leg on which to stand. So are we part of that mechanism? Well, if we want to be part of a mechanism, that's fine. In fact, one of the my last readings of a document, the one that I was quoting before by Sean Elias, she says, it's interesting that the Bill of Rights Act was passed in 1990 and New Zealand is still dormant. New Zealand, the population, of course, is still dormant about issues of human rights. Nobody makes serious claims about human rights violations. And yet human rights violations, how many times do we have to open the TV and see people being shot 14 bullets in their bodies? The guy I'm not going to go into the details because, you know, we don't know the whole story. However, I mean, what is the lawful excuse for that kind of behavior? Bar than none, what is the lawful excuse? These people need to be put behind bars. So we cannot use their game to put them behind bars. In their game, they are completely, you know, immune. They are 6 foot tall and bulletproof, rocketproof, you know, atomic bombproof. It doesn't matter what. They're completely immune. Okay, and because they are immune, they act with impunity. Knowing that they are immune makes them act with impunity. They will bash you up, they will throw you, they will drag you into cells, and that's it. Sorry.
That impunity that you talk about, yes. It does, in fact, have a historical context behind it, and you see this all the way throughout history. Anybody who is removed from the consequences of their actions or is removed from the capacity of being brought to justice by their peers or anybody else. Anybody who is in a position like that with impunity, as you call it, becomes insane and no longer is capable of distinguishing fact from fiction themselves. So do you think it's quite possible that these judges actually believe the lies that they tell everybody else? It'd be interesting to find out. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Bill Turner and Dario Ignacio are my guests.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating. Side.
repeating in the false flag sense of the word. And hold on a second. You know what's funny? Is people don't believe that tyranny exists, right? They can't see it. It's because they've never been taught history properly. How did all these tyrannies come into effect? How did all of these people suddenly become enslaved and subsequently exterminated? Progressive legislation. That's how. Mm-hmm. You keep passing laws, and if people keep following, they'll follow them all the way to an extermination camp. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of scumbaggery and madness, you lose your sense of humor, you will go friggin' nuts. Dario Ignacio and Bill Turner are my guests. Now, also, the listeners, this is a message to you as well. If you can support me, please do. Desperately need funding and help basically at all times. If you're capable of sparing $5 a month, okay, $5 New Zealand a month, which is about like $3.50 US dollars, or like £1.20 if you're living in the Uber Kingdom, or something of that nature. Okay, it's an incredibly small amount of money that I'm asking for, and it's once a month. Okay, so it's very, very small amount. However, if we have 200 people giving that small amount, that means I have enough residual income so that every single bill that I have to pay the internet, the hosting charges for the websites, and food and rent, okay, paid for. That's the minimum that I require in order to stay on air. I need 200 people. That's not a small amount of people giving $5 a month, okay? So if you are one of those 200 people listening right now, I need your help today, preferably. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Click on that subscribe button. If you don't like to use PayPal, many people don't trust it or whatever, that's cool. There's also a bank account number there for the Kiwi Bank account, in which you can put automatic payments directly into it, and many listeners are. So, yeah, every single day, in every single way, I'm doing this radio show and going out there and filming protests and action, and there is nobody else in this country doing it, okay? And more to the point, it's not just New Zealand that I cover and give coverage to. People from all over the world come on this show, all over the world. We are all slaves in this global system, and we cannot free one nation at a time, I don't believe. We can only free everybody simultaneously. Only then will we all on this planet cease to be the slave workers of the elite. And that's what I seek. If you don't want to be a slave anymore, please support me. If you have a slave job right now, and that slave job means that you cannot, you don't have the time or the energy to go out there and take part in activism, then please use a tiny portion of that slave currency that they give you to survive on, give it to me, and I will do that work for you. Take responsibility. Please do so. Bill Turner and Dario Ignacio is my guest. So what do you think about that question I asked in the last segment? Do you think judges actually believe the BS that comes out of their mouth?
No, I don't. Vinny, but that's the illusion they have to create. Look, if I can just say something to you about the bills that go through Parliament, that's how they go through Parliament, as a bill. Now, after they've been passed, three readings they get passed, the government then waits for 90 days for someone to pay that bill, and if they don't, then the Governor-General signs it into the statutes or the acts, because it becomes an act after that. So they then have to go and collect the money from that bill. Now, if you paid the bill before the Governor-General signed it into law, they then don't have to come after the population to get it. And when you realise that everything is just a bill of exchange, pretty easy to pay the bill.
Okay. Now, we have questions in here. Simon was unable to join us, unfortunately, because he has some technical issues from where he's living. Who do you respect for pushing the boundaries of knowledge of this legal system presently? So is there anybody who's who you see as being somebody who's particularly good at exposing this that you admire?
No, not at all. In fact, just to mention something about what Bill was saying, about whether they believe the BS that they say or not, you have to remember that judges are lawyers. You have to remember that prosecutors for the police are lawyers. You have to remember that the people that they drag you into the court, whether it is an IRD issue or even if it is a corrections issue, the guys that they come and bring you the things are legal trainees. That means that they have at stake their own perceived income. Whether that income is lawful or unlawful does not even enter into their fictional minds. So it is clear that, you know, a district court judge does not have enough knowledge about the whole judiciary as if it was a judge in the Court of Appeal. That's clear. But on the other hand...
Well, hold on a second.
Yes.
There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, Dario, is because lawyer training school, just like medical training school, and just like military boot camp, are all designed to produce a silo mentality, and basically they use stock standard cult indoctrination, sleep deprivation, competition with each other rather than cooperation. You tell them that everything you know doesn't exist, and we're going to teach you how the world really works, that kind of thing. It's the exact same thing. And when people are in cults, they believe things that aren't true. And it's ingrained so well that even if you told them that it was a lie, they couldn't understand.
Yes, that's exactly the point. They have come to believe that this is the only way that any type of fiction can function. I mean, remember that they bombard us every single day and night through the media with all of these terrorist fictions attacks and with all of these scaremongery techniques of, oh, you need to be aware, you know, maybe your neighbor is this and is that, you know. I mean, everybody obviously needs to live in fear, and they are part of the system to perpetrate this nonsense. If the last recourse against government abuse is the courts, and the courts here in New Zealand are selected, elected, and instructed, means wrongly educated, by the government itself, then who is looking at whom? Who can check whom?
Unfortunately,
who watches the watchers?
The game is so easy to understand. If you read Issue, if you go to Bouvier's online and read Issue, then the whole thing becomes clear. It's only a gambling den, and they take bets that you do not know that they are going in against your will and betting that you don't know. If you read Issue, it explains it all in Issue. And so when you go in and
you
ask
know
the
what?
Judge...
Bill?
Yep?
That sounds like that sounds exactly like the way John Key trades derivatives.
Yes. Yep. Everything is just... it's just a gambling den. No more, no less, that you do not know what they are doing. And like I said, under Section 49 of the District Court Act, they come in as an agent for you and say, this guy doesn't know what we're doing. All we're doing is taking a bet that he doesn't know. And once you know the rules of the game, it becomes so easy to beat them.
Yes, I agree.
It really is like that. And then the reason why it's easier to beat them once you know the rule of the game is because the game's actually rigged. And so once you know the rules of the rigged game, you can't lose.
It's not rigged at all, Vinny. It's just we think that it's something that it isn't. And once you understand that it isn't what we think it is, it becomes very, very obvious, and it's easy to take care of.
Well, but that implies somehow...
I missed the point because... oh, sorry, go ahead, Dario.
No, I was going to say that that implies that it's obviously my fault and your fault and your fault and your fault and your fault, because we are dumb, stupid, and we think that we have to obey whatever it is, blah, 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 blah. And that's absolutely nonsense, because I cannot accuse my daughter of not knowing the things that the system consistently tries to remove from her field of knowledge. I mean, this is by design. This is not something that is, oh, oops, you know, people started attacking each other, you know, like idiots, and someone needed to come and stand up and say, hey, you know, I'm going to put things in order. This is done by design. This is a system that has been designed centuries ago. It has been consistently acting in the same fashion over and over and over again. When I had conversations here with people, obviously, from this land and people that I respect very much, I said, are you aware of the fact that here, you don't have rights because in every single aspect of your life, you're a tenant? Are you aware of the fact that you're here on borrowed time, borrowed space, borrowed knowledge, borrowed speech, borrowed food, borrowed air? Are you aware of that? Then people say, no, of course not. I mean, my car's mine. You know, my house is mine. It's like, well, you have been, you know, we have been instructed or given wrong information to begin with. So, again, you know, surely, you know, people need to wisen up. But I think that there is a problem. I've got several mates of mine that they are people that they are octogenarians. I do not expect them to go and start researching legislation to find the trickery. I think that it boils down to something that is what is usually called common sense. The moment, every single time that I walked into any kind of courtroom and I use common sense, everything becomes inaudible. All of a sudden, they cannot proceed. Why? Because the common sense overrides all of this nonsense about common law, equity law. You know, it's like people discuss about equity. Which equity? Civil equity or natural equity? You know, is that even in the books? Is that even in the books? It's not even in the books. When you discuss common law,
I got to say, Dario, it's such an ironic term. It's such an ironic term, this common sense. Because it's not common anymore.
It is common when you talk to your community. You see, it's not common sense when you talk to the government, because they apply rules that are completely out of bounds for the regular men and women on the streets. If you talk to any men and women on the streets, you're going to say, do you accept the fact that the Chief Justice, that is the Supreme Court Justice, can tell the government to F off? Do you accept that as being consistent with what you have experienced through your own ears, with your own eyes, through your own experience? Is it consistent? And they say, no, that never happens. So you understand the government presents a story.
I have seen that happen, though, Dario. Literally are a lot of members of the public who actually love tyranny in every single form that matters. Like they think that the government can do no wrong. And so anything that the government's done, no matter how bad it is, they say, oh, there must be a good reason for it.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that
they always give the government. The thing is, people give the government the benefit of the doubt time after time, but they don't give the people the benefit of the doubt.
Precisely, exactly that's the point. But if you go to talk to any single man or woman on the street, and single-handed, you ask them a specific question, do you accept whatever it is the phrase that you want to put, then the single man or woman on the street, not the mob, the single man or woman on the street, when you give them the right, you see, it boils down to you giving the right to the other person to respect himself and coming forward and saying, I've got a second here to exercise my own ability to put forth what I understand. Because people are denied consistently, you know, the right to say what they have to say. So, of course, they hide behind some sort of a cloud calling the mob, and they say, oh, yeah, we all agree, you know, we all vote, you know, all of this nonsense.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, just want to encourage you to vote with your wallet. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, subscribe for $5 a month to keep this little choo-choo train of truth chugging. It's a very hard sentence to say. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me your favorite. Smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleeding uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People Welcome kill back. People that other people Lady command. Man. Middle East is a modern day attack on the native Bush land. Project eugenics, planned on
you
the common man expand. The
military Truth of Talk radio show, mainly because we're on 5 days a week, and the other Truth of Talk radio shows that I've seen around the country are only one. And one of them is only 1 hour long, one of them I think 3 hours long. So we're quantitatively putting out more Truther content than all of the rest of them combined. It doesn't mean those other people aren't doing hard work and good work and all of that kind of stuff. It just means that I'm doing the most work and getting the most content out there. So please, again, this is the final segment of today's show, and I will keep asking for this every single day until I get those 200 subscribers that I need to continue to survive and do my work. There's other things. You know, a listener asked me last night, Vinny, how much would you need? You know, maybe I could give you more or whatever. And I said to him, look, every time somebody gives me something, I use it. I got given a $1,000 donation one time. This microphone that I use right here to do this show was bought with that microphone and the sound card too. And also the wireless Bluetooth microphones, which I've recorded Bill doing his presentations and countless other public meetings. The 27-inch iMac that was bought for me by a listener who had never heard me before and only listened to 12 minutes of one show that I did with Stuart Swerdlow before deciding to buy me that $3,000 or $4,000 computer. With that computer, I have quantitatively increased the amount of stuff that I'm producing out there every day, doing the webcam YouTube videos, recording myself on the webcam while I'm doing the radio show and then uploading it to YouTube. The only reason I'm able to record it is because somebody donated me a call recorder, which was, I think, like $20 or something like that. So believe me when I tell you, every single dollar you send me, every bit of piece of equipment you send me, gets used, and it gets used consistently to do something which nobody else has the time to do. Okay, so please, I beg you, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, subscribe for $5 a month. If you can't do a monthly payment, just a one-off $100 or something like that would be great. I need your help, and I need it now, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Turner and Dario Ignacio are my guests, and we haven't gotten to any of Simon's questions, so I want to address them just quickly. The question we asked was, who do you respect for pushing the boundaries of knowledge of this legal fiction system presently? Well, other than the two people here, Bill Turner and Dario Ignacio, who I think are almost revolutionary in their knowledge and capacity, there's also a number of people in other countries. There is allegedly known as Dave, commonly known as Dom. What's his name? Albert Burgess in the UK as well. There's a number of others. In Canada, there's Dean Clifford. Okay, and Rob Menard, and in the United States, I think Eric Lovely as well. He's been doing a heck of a lot of work there. Those are the ones I'd like to crack out there. Another question from Simon: which avenue of remedy within the system's perpetrators interests you most at present? Which avenue of remedy? And see, I feel that the remedy, or at least personally for me, is to basically try not to get arrested so that you don't actually have to deal with the scum. I mean, it's a hands-off, you know. You're dealing with a toxic landmine as far as I'm concerned, you know. Keep your distance. But some people, they don't like to keep their distance, and in fact they like to charge headlong in and challenge and try to overthrow the perpetrators at prison. Now, next question. What question in law are you trying to crack at the present? Well, my question is, how come we don't have common law anymore? How come when somebody assaults me, the cops do nothing? Okay? How come when my girlfriend's car gets smashed into outside of our place and gets totaled and we're left completely out of it, the cops do nothing? How is it that when I'm smoking a joint I have to spend a couple of hours in the cells, pay $750 for a lawyer to plead me guilty, and then have to pay another $150 court fine and get a slap on the wrist with a wet buster. Common law, ladies and gentlemen, if I don't damage somebody or their property, nobody should have anything to say about it, okay? That is common law. If you are a douchebag, a violent scumbag, or a thieving bastard, you deserve to be punished. If, on the other hand, you're not doing any of that, they shouldn't have anything to tell you, okay? That is the remedy that I want. I want to go back to a common law system where I'm not a slave anymore, having to pay endlessly fines and taxes and all that crap. Here's another question. Please give a short explanation of what common law is to you, and I think I just did. If we are all equal under God, then does that mean we have to understand God? I think that is an interesting question. Do we need to understand God in, if we're all equal under him? Does that mean that you have to understand the law in order for all of us to be equal under the law? The answer is yes. If you don't know what the motivations are, what the terminology is, or what the power you're messing with is, you are not equal because other people have more experience, more power, more influence, etc., than you. So you had best understand it and have a grapple with it just like they do. Does reading law dictionaries and reviewing past decisions help us achieve this? Of course. If you are reading the history, if you are going through all of the things that set precedents and use them in court, that knowledge that you have, that maybe the judge or the other prosecutors or whatever, they may not have seen this particular precedent, you can use those to set yourself free if it has been done before. Last question, I think. Who do you think ultimately defines the meanings of words? For example, electricity being defined as an essential service. Now, I think that reality provides the definition for terms. Firstly, what is the term? Secondly, what is it used for? And thirdly, is that the actual definition? In most cases, the terms that we use, particularly legalese and legal terms and things of that nature, people do not understand the definitions because they do not go to the law dictionaries, like Black's or the other one that Bill, you keep talking about. What was it called?
Butterworth's or Bouvier's.
Bouvier's. Yeah, yeah. So unless you're capable of actually looking through these and defining the meanings of these words, it means that the power to use it, much like a sword, if you are untrained, you might accidentally cut your finger off. However, if you know precisely what you're doing and you've used it many times before, both in training situations and in battle situations, your capacity to wield that weapon of knowledge or a sword in the case of the example that I'm putting here, is the difference between you being successful in said conflagration or having your fingers cut off. Okay, so I think I hope I had defined all of Simon's questions for him. But anyway, if you guys have anything to add, we have about maybe 3 minutes left in the program.
Okay, Vinny, if I could just help you with the common law thing, we definitely do have access to the common law, and all that is the private side of the ledger. If you read up the Arbitration Act, you will see that that is our court and that is our remedy. That is the Queen's Bench, and when we go there, now, recently a friend of mine had his property mortgagee sold. Now, the people bought the place and was supposed to move in, but I put a claim into the arbitration court for him, and they said, we can't hear land issues in this court, and we said, it's not a land issue. And anyway, what we did was we took a photo of the house, went into the court, and said, the bank says that it has the right to sell the property, blah, 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 blah. So we held up a picture of the house and said, is this the property that the bank has the right to sell? They cannot answer because it isn't the property. The only property that they have the right to sell is their deed on paper titles. That is our remedy, Vinny. It's in the arbitration court. That is the common law court. But what you have to do is make sure that you enter it in the private and do not allow them to get jurisdiction over you. You go in and set the laws there. And the best one to use is Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England.
All right. We have about 1 minute left on the broadcast. Dario, if you have anything to say, now's the time to wrap up.
Well, basically, the only thing that I have found is that common law is a fiction. In their system, common law is whatever it is common to them, which is only statute law, and it's only the precedents, and the precedents are the opinions of other judges. And who gives a stuff about the opinions of another judge if I do not accept the jurisdiction to begin with? So my tack is on this matter is completely different. Obviously, in India, the common law means that people have to respect animals because they don't kill cows and stuff. Obviously, if you go to Argentina, if you make a law that says that you cannot kill cows, then the population is going to go all over the place because, you know, people are used to eating meat. So, you know, common law is a flaky sort of concept. When I come in and say, well, my common law is whatever is common to me and to my fellow men and women, and I do go by respect, compassion, love, etc., etc., and that's my common law, then let them come and challenge it. No problem. That's my answer.
You know what? Common law is merely a lawful definition of people walking around operating under a system of common sense. That's what common law is, as far as I can see it. Common law is supposed to be a legal representation of a person's logic and common sense. If you haven't damaged anybody, you don't deserve any punishment. That kind of thing seems pretty sensible, doesn't it? So thank you guys for coming on the show today. It has been enlightening, rip-roaring, and fun, and all of that kind of stuff. Thank you so much for donating some of your valuable time. And if you'd like to listen to the archives, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, americanfreedomradio.com, and usually the first place to have it posted is guerrillamedia.co.nz. We'll see you again sometime, folks.
Thank you for the great work you're doing, Vinny.